Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome all to another episode of the Married Men Don't Talk talk show, brought to you by Household Stress. First thing I want to talk about is the Marriage Madness, Maggiano's, and what else am I forgetting, Rodney? I know I'm messing it up.
You got it, man. You got it.
And that's the event on the 22nd. Of this month, March, from 5 to until. I'm just going to say until this time. So if y'all got a babysitter, have a babysitter for the whole night, because we do it big till the sun comes up. But anyway, that is a great event that we're getting ready to have. You can go to www.householdstress.com and go to the Our Events page and RSVP as soon as you can. We've got a few spots left, not that many. I think we signed up about, I don't know, half the people today, right, Rodney?
Yeah,
A bunch. So, yeah, so it's definitely filling up pretty fast. Anyway, tonight's topic is a crazy, wild one. I think it's going to be a rough rider ride tonight. And I think that's why Ike's on, because me and Ike talked about this last week. And I got his approval. You know, sometimes I got to get his approval to make these things a reality. but anyway, you know, this is a spinoff of his book, All Women Lie, which is going to be published in 2015 of April.
You do me such a great honor. Too many words is just called Women Lie. That's it.
Women Lie, is that what it is? I had it messed up, but... you know, thank you for correcting me, sir. Anyway, tonight's rules are no profanity. We're going to agree to agree tonight. And it's not Bible study, so, it's definitely not Bible study once you all hear the title. But tonight's topic is, she used to be a freak. Your host, Tony Hawkins. Let me get this thing started. Now, I know that we had a show called Bands That Make Her Dance back in the day, and it was one of our number one downloaded shows because we talked about something that men like talking about, strippers. But I want to get this party kicked off with one question. Have you had the conversation with your wife whether she went to see male dancers prior to being married? To you. Anybody's wife out there, go see male dances. Go watch them do something strange for a piece of change. Anybody.
I know my wife has.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like 1,000%?
Yes.
But if she did, would she feel comfortable? Is that something that she would feel comfortable telling you about?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You do? How would you perceive it if she did?
I'd be kind of upset.
You would? Before you? Let's see, in her college days, man, you know, there was a little...
Oh, before me? Well, I mean,
before you.
So you have to go back to high school because I was the college days.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so...
So you was around the whole time, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Anybody else have that conversation? Crickets? Really? Wow, I know mine did. Not to put nobody's business out there, but I know she did in her travels. She doesn't do it anymore, but, you know, the question I'm going to ask doesn't really work on me. That's why I was hoping somebody could man up and volunteer that information. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't really work on me, you know. So we'll flip it around a little bit. Those that just came in, tonight's topic is she used to be a freak. And the first question was, do you know whether your wife went to see male dancers or not? What about, like, at a bachelorette party? Anybody? Mm-mm. Wow.
Not me, bro.
Wow, thank you for that, man. Thank you for that. Well, I mean, that's, you know, that was my question for the night, so let's go on the open mic. but let's keep it there for a minute, because I know that plenty of times we talked about us going, you know, and for whatever reason, you know, but would it be something that if somebody's wife came and said, well, you know, I used to enjoy watching male dancers before I got married to you, and would you mind if we were to go again? Would that be an issue to anybody? Remember, tonight's topic is she used to be a freak.
Restate that, Mr. Host.
Let's just say present day times, somebody's wife would come and say, your wife would come and say, you know, back in the day before I met you, I used to enjoy going to see male dancers. But since I got married to you, now I don't do it. Do you mind if I could, you know, start doing that again? Is that like a deal breaker?
I don't know if it's a deal breaker, but it'd be a problem.
It would be a problem?
It would be for me.
Speak on it, brother man.
I mean, you get married, you know, things change. I mean, I ain't going to go out and, you know, do the things I used to do when I was single. I mean, there's certain things that have to change, and, you know, I've heard what happens at those clubs, so, you know. Long Dog Silver.
No doubt.
Oh, y'all talking about the dancing bear parties?
Yeah, you know, whatever, you know. I mean, let's just say it's something she was into. You know what I mean? And now because she's married and she don't feel comfortable with you with it, she said, I'm going to pass on it.
Oh, if it's a dancing bear party, that's a divorce right there.
I don't even know what that is.
I love the purity of this group, the innocence. You all do.
You got to break that one down, Ike.
I swear, you all's pervert IQ has got to be the lowest I've ever known. I swear.
I'm not standing across the room from you. I'm standing right next to you, just so you know.
I know you are. I know you good. I'm just saying, I know people are Googling right now. Careful there, Bible thumpers. You might get some stuff popping up on your computer. You know, I'd hate for Jesus to pay you a visit tonight. Go ahead, Tony. Go ahead.
No. I was kind of waiting for a response. So, what is that, though? I mean, I don't know. Is that like a different kind of jump off other than going to, like, you know, where they used to go? What was that spot they used to go to in Maryland?
Well, I just say this. If your woman says she's going to go see a stripper, you better ask what kind of stripper party it is, or you better get educated real quick. Because there's different names for these types of parties. And dance and bear parties, you might as well go and sign divorce paperwork now. That's more of an interactive show.
Oh, okay. So if she's in the building 9 times out of 10, she's going to be a part of the show.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Wow. But that doesn't seem like a place for a married woman, though, I don't think.
Well, there's a lot of places that don't seem like a place for a married woman. Yet they end.
Okay. So, some of the things that happen at those places, you know, I think it gives men and women ideas of how they want sexuality to be. You know, like sometimes guys will watch pornography and get an idea of how they want certain sexuality to be in their relationships, right? So if the woman went there and saw something that aroused her and said, okay, well, this is what I like, right? And then this is something that, you know, she became accustomed to, and then fast forward to today, now she's married to you. You know, how does that How do you translate that kind of activity into a marriage, or can you even do it? You know, a lot of times we talk about, well, yeah, I'm going to put a stripper pole in my basement. But then you got nobody to get up on it. You know what I'm saying? So, and you know, like, again, I'm going to say the topic again, she used to be a freak. So we're not saying that the wives used to be a freak, but they used to have tendencies that are different now. I'm trying to get to tendencies that may be different now because they're married, but certain things are still in them, if I can break that down properly.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I was just saying, I think that might want to define what a freak is. You know, what is the definition of a quote-unquote freak? You know, when we talk about these things, is it going to a bachelorette party or a dancing bear party, as the brother said? I mean, what is the definition of a freak?
Well, we can say what it's not. And let's say it's not the kind of person that slept with a lot of people. But let's just say there's a person that likes to experiment sexually. And let's keep it there.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? We don't want to put anybody on host status. We just want to put them on experimenting sexual different things. Just to clear it up.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah, now go ahead. Okay. So certain things happen, you know, especially with us. Now, you know, some of us come up and we would be involved in menage a trois. And maybe we like it. Maybe it's something that, you know, it's great. Now, we know that doesn't work in marriage, right? But what would be the equivalent? Could there be something that could still satisfy that appetite?
You mean like a external device?
I don't know. I'm just asking. I'm just throwing stuff out there. You know, I got this topic late. I'm trying to make it work. I'm just throwing stuff out there. But the point that I'm trying to make is too many times we hear about sexual things changing in marriage. From the point of the courtship to the point of 2 years in, right, where things were favorable to us, now may not be favorable. So there's a transition somewhere. So I'm thinking there's maybe probably even a transition before that point, before they got married. You feel what I'm saying? So let's just say while they were in their college years, there was a lot of things that were going on that were great. So now here comes marriage, and okay, we can't do that no more. But where do those things go? And I use the example of menage a trois for men, because a lot of times we talk about, man, I'd love to have two women. Now, you don't have too many women saying that, but they may say, okay, you know, the male dancer's throwing, as Andrew would say, long dong silver in my face. Am I on anybody's island?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, if you talk about before marriage versus after marriage, I think you have to ask the question, you know, what if she was never a freak but her representative was?
Ooh.
What do you mean by representative?
That's a whole nother topic right
there. You don't know the representative? That's the person that used to be a freak.
Yeah. That's a wannabe freak. That's a wannabe freak.
Yeah.
I think that example is a wannabe freak. A freak with a sense of purpose. Let's just say it that way. Would that sum it up? A freak with a sense of purpose. She's not really a freak, but her sense of purpose is to get that ring. So there's certain things if you've expressed sexually that you desire. So this person is going to say, well, I don't really like that, but guess what? I'm going to do it anyway. I'm gonna make him believe that this is how I.
Oh,
really
you talking about the alter ego?
Mm-hmm.
You talking about the putting your best foot forward, but it's not really the real person that said.
Exactly. No, I'm talking about a liar.
Okay. Well,
wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you took it a step further. Okay.
Make it plain, brother.
Yeah, I'm gonna call it what it is. That's a liar.
Hey, Tony,
you know
what's the name of my book?
Women Lie.
Okay.
I got it down. I wrote it down this time. You know, so. I mean, that's a great question.
Going back a little bit, what do you mean by the vices? I don't understand that one.
I didn't say that. Who said that?
I mean, I said that, but I said that following up. He said menage a trois, and then translated it into a marriage where that's not acceptable. So if it was a female with two guys, the only way you can have the two-guy kind of feeling is to bring a third device to the party. Whether, you know, I'm not a sex toy expert, but I'm sure there's several different ways you can come correct in that aspect.
The brother makes a great point. He makes a great point, and let me tell you why. There are times where men have devices, right? And we grown, so lotion and a tissue box and a sock. That's what I heard. I mean, I've seen it on movies. Right? Those three things, or a towel, or whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes women have toys, vibrators, dildos, whatever you want to call it. And this is what they've used to get them aroused when nobody's around. But now here comes the marriage. Can they bring these devices into a marriage without being ridiculed?
Wow.
But you shouldn't need them.
In a perfect world, yeah, you're right.
Well, I won't be naive about it, but let me just play the devil's advocate. You shouldn't need them.
Yes. Yes.
Well, if she needed them before y'all got married, it's probably not going to be much different after y'all got married. So why wouldn't she still need them then?
You're right. I mean, that's a great question. Go ahead.
I think a lot of people on here need to read a book about female anatomy and the changes a female body goes through as they age. And especially the things that can affect their pH levels. You'd be amazed.
So what, you think you need to add some more acid to that base?
What'd you say?
So we need to add more acid to that base to balance the pH levels?
Yeah, their pH levels, different soaps, different makeups, stuff they put on their skins, it all affect their little private part down there. So it could take a combination of things. The way that little private part down there, they got operates when she's 30, doesn't operate the same way when she's 20. And it damn sure don't operate the same way when she's 40. So I think there's some understanding that needs to take place. You know, once you really grasp that and really understand that, then maybe, you know, I mean, hell, I mean, even men change. You know, well, I know I did. I don't know about y'all. But, 18, 20-year-old, 30-year-old, 40-year-old, it was all different levels if you ask me. I mean, maybe I'm the only one.
No. I mean, I get it. You know, we all change physically. Our stamina may change as well. But I don't think that our views and desires with sex change that much as men. I think we still mentally want it the same amount of times, the same way we like it.
What if your woman goes through a period where she has extreme vaginal dryness. And if you use the old-timey thinking, well, if she dry, she ain't turned on. And if you use the old-timey evidence collected, well, she was wet before we was married. She was wet during the honeymoon. She wet after we married. Now all of a sudden she's dry, so she must not be feeling me. So now she walking around not knowing what's going on. You holding on to the fact, well, something is wrong. You're not feeling me. You've already diagnosed it, but it's being diagnosed incorrectly because of a lack of education. So what about that scenario?
That's a good scenario. Anybody want to tackle that before I get it?
Well, I mean, I could think. I was looking at your YouTube video, and it seems like it all kind of boils down to communication and not understanding that. I mean, you could read all the books in the world, but if you can't, if someone's talking about it, then it's hard to understand. But that's my people.
Yeah, Ike. So. And just like he was saying, we could educate ourselves on that same issue about the dryness. You know what I mean? But if she doesn't tell us what it is, even we could pinpoint it, we could Google it to death. But if she doesn't say, well, this is what I'm going through, how will we still know?
But well, what if she don't know herself? I mean, that thing can just dry up now. You know what I'm saying?
But what you still be?
He and y'all both standing there like, well, what the heck happened?
But it's a what difference between being dry and her not wanting it. It can be dry and she still show you that she wanted it. It's an issue.
But how does she show you? If one of the ways that you can confirm that she wants it is by her being wet.
Like she might be willing to try something, like extreme KY. I heard that works good.
Extreme, my man. All right. I'm writing that down.
Yeah, I'll do an infomercial for them. They let me. But no, seriously, she might be willing to try different things.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to a sister saying, "This dry, don't touch me."
Okay.
Yeah, you got to.
You do know how women operate, right?
I'm figuring that out. Does any man really know?
You know that sometimes they can make up in their mind that they know something is a big deal to you, like them being wet, and then they know the moment that they're not wet that you're let down no matter what you say, and you do know that they just hold on to that and they can't let it go, and they are devastated by it. I mean, do you understand that phenomenon I'm talking about?
I'm inclined to believe that it is a major issue when a woman can't get wet. It's a major something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking. It's a major, major, major something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Physically.
But that's like akin to ED. I mean, that's just like a man's ED, really.
Mm-hmm.
But what maybe about... I mean, possibly, but what about the, you know, the flip side of that is that, you know, the topic is, you know, she used to be a freak, but, you know, what Ike was talking about is how men change, you know, how we change. And, you know, what if the opposite is true, is that he used to be a freak and she's not getting wet because, you know, your sex life is boring. She don't get excited no more and it's, you know, it's whack. So, you know, what if the flip side of this thing is true, whereas she's fine, but it's the dude that used to be a freak, and now he's gotten older, you know, and he's tired all the time or whatever the case may be. You know, what about if the opposite is true, is where it's not a medical thing, but it's just the fact of the matter is that he used to be a freak?
Well, a lot of times when dudes, you know, get turned off, is usually because their woman is doing something to activate that turn off. Meaning, like, you know, I got a partner, you know, when his wife passed gas on purpose, and it just kind of pushes it in his face. It's like that's a turn off, and he's like, you nasty, and and you know, and she thinks it's funny, and you know, or it's just certain things that a woman can do to turn her husband off. And he's like, he grows disinterested in her, you know, her talking all the time, her, you know, cutting him off all the time, or her, you know, doing something that you don't supposed to be doing, that he asks her over and over again not to. So it kind of grows into an infection of, I don't want you anymore, you know, I don't want to be with you like that right now.
Mm. You think that could be learned behavior, what you're talking about?
No, I think that, you know, like, I got another partner, he says sometimes his woman smells, and it's just like a turn-off.
That's crazy, man.
If she smells,
right,
and she ain't took a shower or something, and then she ready to get freaky, but it's like, nah, man, I can't do it.
You are hilarious.
Crazy, man.
Real talk, man.
Yeah, but I just see that right there is a bigger disconnect to me than just the whole sex piece. Right, you're married to this person, you already know what y'all like, you already know each other. You know, okay, you know, we gotta take a shower before we, I mean, there's had to have been a lot of trial and error before you get to that point. Either or she just don't care, she trifling. One or the other.
I don't think she just try. I mean, it's like that morning stuff. You know, she had a bad night, didn't feel like bathing last night, and in the morning she's feeling it, and it's like, no, that kind of smells kind of bad, but you don't want to say nothing to embarrass her, so you just kind of roll it.
Nah, I'm not buying that, man. I'm not buying that.
Okay. I'm just telling you what. Hey,
that's kind of. I don't know about that one. I don't know. I can't give it that really.
Me neither.
It's funny though.
Me neither. Okay. Listen. We all, everybody on this phone that's married, we've all had a late night where we maybe went out dancing or whatever the case may be. We go straight to bed, wake up, and we might get busy in the morning. And it don't smell like the garbage can. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. You miss a shower just one night ain't going to make you smell horrendous the next morning. There's something else there. There's got to be something else there.
It's not that it smells horrendous. It's like, you know, she requires, pre-engagements before the actual engagement. And he's like, nah, I ain't going down there. So, you know, if he ain't going down.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's different. So you made it different now.
No man must eat off a dirty plate.
Yeah, that's different.
Because you're not supposed to smell nothing down there, man. Like, you're not supposed to smell anything.
No.
And I'm smelling anything down there. Something's up, man. You
know? Something's up. Yeah. So, like I said, that's a bigger issue. I think that's a bigger issue there. Yeah. But anyway, good words. So, what were we talking about before then? Somebody say something else before then that I missed? No? Okay.
But
anyway,
you know what, man? I mean, any woman, man, I'm married. I mean, at some point, I mean, you are going to get that aroma down there. I don't give a damn. I mean, it's just the way it is sometimes. You're going to get that aroma, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's just the way it is.
And again, fellas, it's your aroma. It's married aroma. It ain't going to be the first time. It ain't going to be the last time. You know what I mean? That's like smell. Yeah, that's...
I'm sure... I'm sure sometimes, man, you want a woman to do something for you, and you know you got sweaty balls, you know.
Yeah, it's not gonna smell like roses either. So I mean, it's give or take.
Yeah, so it evens out, you know.
That's funny. It's true, man. It's true. I mean, sometimes you got to man up.
That's real talk.
Man up.
It is what it is. You know what I mean? The shower ain't far. You know what I mean? Oh, you know, let's take a shot. I mean, if that's what it is.
Hey, you be humble. Get some mystery to wash the mouth out if you have to. But, I mean, you know, somebody's got to be humble.
Yeah, you got to be humble.
Yeah, I guess, man.
Yeah. So when in a marriage do you guys think that you start having marriage sex?
What?
And marriage sex is marriage sex. It ain't.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I know
what it is.
I'm having it now, so I know exactly what it is.
You know what I mean? Let's just get it in, you know.
Roll over, you suck the booze.
Oh, that's one for the team. Let's just take it one for the team. Yeah,
okay.
One for the team. Yeah,
that's it. But is it really taking one for the team if it becomes the routine, if it comes becomes the norm?
It's the way it is, man. I mean, you done drilled the hole so many times. I mean, there ain't much more you can do with it, bro. I mean, come on, man. You done it every which way. I mean, after a while, it gets... You know, in Germany, man, they got this stuff they call Fasching season in Germany when I was over there in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
It's for people that have been married for, like, 20, 30 years. For 2 weeks a year, you can take off your wedding ring. She takes off hers, and you guys can have sex with other people 2 weeks a year.
Huh? It's funny, we've been doing this call for a long time because this is actually the second time I heard that on this call.
Really?
Yeah, which is very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's new? I'm just trying to see if a hole is a hole is a hole. What's new? I mean, some of it is a little bit more wetted than others, but what can you do different with another woman that you can't do with your wife? I'm really lost for that. I mean, what makes it more exciting? Is it because it's a different person, or is it
man, you know, fellas live for the high. You know, guys live for the high. That's a whole different. I think you already know the answer to that question. It's not ethical, but you know the answer to that question.
Yeah, I'm hoping you know the answer to that question.
No, I don't know the answer to that question.
Is there any more higher rush you can get from pulling a girl's panties down for the first time? Don't you get a rush on that? Think about it.
Go ahead, Darren. Right. He's talking to you.
Answer me.
I can't.
You can't what?
Are you going to tell me that you know I get a rush? I get a rush pulling a girl's panties down for the first time. Every man has probably got that rush. Okay.
I mean, I get a rush pulling my wife's drawers down, but it ain't been another woman in a while.
But he's talking about the first time when it's another
first time.
Woman.
Yeah, the first time.
Okay, well, I mean, okay. Well, what's the point? I'm trying to.
This is hilarious.
What is the point?
So you,
I mean,
so
look.
You're chasing a rush, you saying? You're chasing a rush?
It is a rush. You do. I don't you get a rush out of it, pulling the six panties down for the first time? I get a rush out of that shit, bro.
Yeah. No cursing. Hey.
I'm sorry.
You good. Hey, Darren. Really, man?
Sure. Uh-huh.
Really?
I mean,
are you serious?
It's been 8-9 years, bro. I mean,
And you forgot?
It's not I forgot.
I just man.
I'm just reminded every time me and my wife, you know, do our.
How long? Hey, Darren, how long you been married then?
Hey, 8 years.
Eight? I got 9, dude. You sound like you've been married for 18.
Yeah. No.
Well, I've been married. I've been married before, so if you add them up, it's 18. But
I'm completely lost.
But I'm just saying, it's the same. I guess the thrill would be different. But, you know, it's like chasing a dragon. You know, you're never going to get that again, not unless you do something that you don't supposed to be doing. So, you know, when you're married, as far as committing adultery, but I don't see the, I don't know.
So you're saying it's like tempting yourself?
Yeah, it's like spraying myself thin. You know, it's like, it's.
I don't think the question was supposed to say that, okay, I guess I should go and try and find some other girl and get the experience. I think hypothetically it would say that if I was going to go do something stupid, why would I do it? And you would do it because you were trying to chase the high.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a rush, man.
Like
it's the
same thing as if you was gambling your money because you're thinking I'm going to spend this $100 I'm gonna make $400 or $500 or $1,000, right? So you're saying you're chasing a high. Not to say that's ethical, because I mean,
I think if we're honest, we'd all say, you know, the chase, you know, and that first conquest is the high.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're gonna be honest.
And I think
now that doesn't mean that the payment is worth it. But I mean, if we're honest, that's what we're in it for the hunt.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, now, you know, I'm just saying.
Me too, I'm just saying. I mean, my woman, I mean, I pulled on her panties, I could count the I know how many pimples she got on her butt. I mean, there's no mystery left, man. I mean, let's keep me together and actually love her. You know?
Yeah.
So you're saying if it's no, since there's no mystery behind what you've been tagging for so long, it's like it's bored. It's classified as boring now.
It is boring. Marriage can be boring, man. That's the way it is. I'm sorry. I've been married twice. It gets boring after a while. She can wear negligees and whatever, man. Garter belts. I mean, it's still just, at the end of the day, it's the same woman. It's the same thing, the same hole you've been drilling the same way. I mean, there ain't no much mystery left. But that's the beauty of it, though, man, because I still love her as a person, you know, besides what she can do for me sexually. But you know what, man? Look, you can ask any guy that's married. Ask any married man, is your wife the finest woman that you've ever been with? Does she have the biggest butt, the biggest boobs? And he will tell you no. No doubt.
But when it comes to having sex with your wife and being bored, I think that when you stick that in your mind that hey, this is a boring sex life, I think it start becoming more intriguing to seek other things sometimes, you know, and I think that's the gateway to advertising or entertaining other females. Just because it's like, oh, man, you know, this girl, she's digging me, and, you know, I can't really do nothing. Well, what can I? You know, she's my wife working at night, you know, and then you start to entertain that kind of stuff. When you got it locked in your mind, it is boring. You got a boring sex life.
Well, can I just say something to you? Because either you're going to lock in your mind that it's boring because it may be boring, or you're going to lie to yourself and say that it's not boring because you don't want it to be boring.
How about just not say anything and just have a wonderful marriage, and then, you know, based off of,
textbook.
And I'm being the halo angel around here. But,
textbook.
Go ahead.
You're being textbook right now.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you can call it that. Let's call it that. I'm being textbook, but really, if you really start thinking about that kind of thing, if you really start thinking how boring this behind is or how boring the same old position is, you know, she's going to do the same thing. I can check, you know, I can count it like clockwork. If you start playing and over in your mind, it's going to lead to something. It may lead to something else, that's all.
But really? Really? You really saying this right now? I mean,
why?
I'm just saying, man, you just described half a marriage. You just described 60% of sex in marriage just now.
That's right.
Whether you believe it or not.
There's things you can do in your mind. I mean, you could pretend you're having sex with someone else. I mean,
ooh.
That's what men. That's what married guys do.
That's deadly because you're gonna start acting on those thoughts. So you got to be careful with that.
That's all I was talking about.
Come on,
that's
man.
What
when that brother, what's that brother? Idris, what's his name? The African brother played. I forgot his name.
He played in The Wire.
When that brother comes on TV, my wife, she gets wet between the legs when he comes on TV. She stops whatever she's doing to watch him, okay? So I know definitely, man, you know.
You're going to get lucky that night.
I know homeboys in my house. She probably would do it with that dude, because she's definitely got the house for his ass. So, you know, come on. Women have fantasies, too. You know, come on, let's get real, man. It ain't just one-sided, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, good word. Go ahead, Darren. What would you say?
I'm just thinking right now that, you know, I know so many people that got themselves caught up from that very thought, and the thought started right there. It started by saying that this is not interesting anymore, or you're born, and it starts in the mind, and once it's in your mind that hey, you know what, I'm enough of this, you know. And this is bored. This is dry. This is I mean, you ain't even wet right now, you know. And I'm finna go holler at old Sally at the job, man, because she's been trying to dig me for a minute. I think I'm going to take her up on that offer. And then it just escalates. It just.
Well, but you know what else is in my mind? There's something else in my mind, too. You know what else is in my mind? Paying child support, losing my house. Okay.
But that's not on your mind when you see them fishnets walking past.
That's in my mind too. Financially, this is my second marriage. This is my second marriage, so that's in my mind too. Okay. Yeah, if I do this with Sally Ann, I
once
might
you been
do,
down that road, you start thinking, is it worth it?
Is it worth it? And the answer is no. Okay.
No.
Exactly.
That's
right. And once you've been down that road, you go, you know what? Yeah, she's fat, but you know what? Hey, when the lights go out, and it ain't worth it.
It ain't worth it, bro. It's not worth losing.
End of the day, you spent a bunch of money, you lost them both, and you ain't got nothing.
Yeah, but you lose your kids, you lose your house, you lose money. You know, it's not worth
it. Most of the guys who have affairs, that's not the thing that's on their mind at the time.
Yeah, but it should be, and that's the bottom line.
It is on their mind, but they think they're not going to get caught. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's it. See, you know, you're talking to a two-time loser. I played that game.
Me too.
You can't win.
Me too. I played it too.
And then you realize it ain't worth it.
It ain't worth it, bro.
I don't care how fat she is, it ain't worth it.
But look what you just said, Andrew. You just said you did this twice before. You see what I'm saying? And then now you finally learn on your third time that it's not worth it.
I'm trying to pass it on to some brothers so they don't have to do it.
Exactly,
yeah.
but you're talking from a third perspective.
That's right.
To a bunch of brothers.
Because some of these guys ain't never done it, and they entertaining that thought, and they let that thought grow into their mind.
And you know,
any guy that says that they don't have that thought when she walks by and she's fat to death, they're lying.
Mm.
Or they're a faggot, one of the two.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
Well, anyway.
Because when she walks by, you see her at her best. At her worst. You took out the dinner, and she goes in that bathroom and blows that sucker out. Miss Holly doing that.
The only way that I would do it is that the woman would have to be married too. She would have something to lose herself. That's the only way I would do it. She would have to be married and have shit to lose. That's it. Other than that, I'm not doing nothing.
That makes sense, but you're still playing Russian roulette. But, yeah, I mean, most guys do that.
Not with married women, because they got something to lose, bro.
Yeah,
so they're in the same boat you're in, so they definitely keep it on
touch. I got a cousin of mine that did the same thing. He brought herpes home to his wife.
But aren't we going to the end result of the lack of intimacy? I believe cheating is definitely the ultimate result, probably, what Darren was saying. But aren't there other things that we can do to kind of spice it back up before it gets to that point?
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying that you know, you got to understand, you know, there's a payment. And anybody that tells you that sin isn't fun is lying. If sin wasn't fun, nobody would do it.
Yeah. Yeah. But can that be no, hold on. Let me ask this question. Because there's a good number of brothers on the call, and I just want to ask this one question. Do we really want to resort to cheating when we're married? Do we really want to step out there? Or do we want it to be right in our own bedroom?
I have friends that do that, and I don't know how they maintain their marriage, but I just see it as something that's kind of fruitless, because why would you be married and do that? It just seems like just be single. It's stupid. But that's what my mindset.
Sure.
Well, being a brother that's been there and done that, okay, you know, you don't think about the consequence. All right, you're not thinking I'm going to get caught. I mean, that's the real deal, okay? They're not thinking I'm going to get caught up. And that's, you know, hey, anything that happens in the dark is going to come to the light. It's going to come out. You can't just hit it and quit it. It ain't that kind of deal. You're going to be slashing your damn tires, showing up boiling your rabbit. Something's going to happen.
Gotcha. But okay. The question still.
And the bottom line is, you know, you got to pay to play.
But that's
and
not, but that's
you know,
not the question,
on
Andrew.
The side, she's going to be getting nothing but you drilling her. She's going to want something more than that.
Yeah, but we got
but
that
she
part.
Can get she can get some pole anywhere. So you're going to have to be funding her.
That's not the point, though. That's not the question. The question was, do we want to really go out and look for it elsewhere, or do we want it right in our own bedroom first?
I think you have to ask yourself. You have to ask yourself the question: why did you get married? And if the question is you don't know, then I guess you need to get out the marriage. Because if
go ahead.
Come on. Well, we get married because we love our wives. But you know what, Matt? I don't think. I actually grew up in a. My parents are married, and my uncles and aunts were married. So I was naturally inclined to get married. That's what I'm used to. I actually like having a wife. Having kids, and I grew up with that stuff, and I kind of like that. But, you know, it does get stale after a while. And it's not always the guys are looking for. Sometimes, man, women will bring it to you. You know, women like married men, bro. I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things that I have found is intimacy isn't about the bedroom. And love isn't about the bedroom. And if that's your focus, you're going to really have problems. Because after a while, it's just a wet hole to stick you know what in. Okay, so you know if that's what your relationship is based on, you know you need to get out there and be a wolf on Wall Street. I mean, you know, you just need to go out and do your thing. But if you don't have it deeper than that, if it's not more important than just that, it's going to get old.
It is going to get old. You know, you're going to want, I mean, if you look at younger women, I mean, as I got older, I'm 47 now, I really appreciate the way younger women look now, like when they're 23, 24. I really admire it. I mean, I can stand back and look at a well-put-together 25-year-old woman, man, and really appreciate it as you get older. Sometimes, man, you want to do more than appreciate it. You might want to, you know, take off the wrappings and see what's inside. You know, as you get older, you know. As they said, a nice behind is nature's Viagra. That's what they say, right? You know.
Well said. So is that still the case if you're getting your fair share at home the way you want it? Is that still the case?
I don't think it's enough, man. I don't think it's enough.
Wow.
For some guys. Sometimes you just really need the variety. I mean, you just need the sample. It's like going to, you know, being married, man, I hate to say it, it's like having cable TV with only one channel. You know, that's what it's like sometimes. And
wow.
Sometimes you want to turn the channel. I'm just saying what it is. I've been to second marriages, man. I mean, sometimes they can get stale and boring, but it is what it is, man. I mean, I wouldn't recommend marriage to anybody right now. I mean, I don't think unless you're gonna have kids, I don't think you should be. I don't think you really need to be getting married, to be honest. I don't think it's worth it. I think it's dangerous.
So there's no upside to it at all. Gotta be upside to it. I mean, it's too many people.
Yeah. Taxes. Yep, that's the upside.
Yeah. I get an extra deduction for taxes, but I don't really see an upside to marriage, bro. I don't see it. I mean, I hate to say it, but I can't think of one upside to being married. I can't think of anything that I could do by living together than being married. I don't see the upside. I just don't know what that would be. You can tell me what it is. Tell me. I would like to hear it.
So basically, shacking up is probably the safest bet at this point.
I think if you have some stuff in life, if you have material wealth a little bit, I think getting married is dangerous. I think it's Russian roulette because would you go on an airplane and the guy told you this plane has a 70% chance of wrecking?
Sure.
Would you get on an airplane? I mean, you probably wouldn't, right? So you got marriages, 65% of them fail and end in divorce?
Yeah.
I mean, why would you want to get on that train?
I think that's more like around 50%.
I mean, and why would you want to get married and have your kids and you're losing your kids? You're not seeing them all the time. You're paying child support. You're paying her. Plus, I mean, is it worth it? I mean,
so you're saying getting married is a setup for a divorce?
I'm just saying I actually do have a 19-year-old son, and he asked me, "Dad, should I get married?" I would actually tell him no. I would tell my son no, don't do it. I actually would tell him to not. You know what? I'm actually going to say this, man. You know, real talk. I would tell him to not marry an American woman. I actually would tell my son that.
So you're saying? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, but you know, we're going to get. So, I just want to get back to his analogy with the airport.
I got a question.
Okay, go ahead.
For the guy with the one cable channel. that was interesting to me. So you prefer to have Real Housewives of Atlanta as your channel, one of your channels, a little Basketball Wives, some Jerry Springer in your life, and just one Claire Huxtable?
No, I'll take Claire Huxtable. But you know what? That one chick had butt, Sheree. I'd probably get with her, but no, nah, I don't.
I'm just asking because when I turn on cable right now, it's a lot of garbage on. If I could just find one channel, I think it would, if I could focus on that, it might be better than having a lot of variety.
And make that kind of work for you.
There's a lot of crazy out here.
Yeah. And like I was saying with the airplane, it is like marriage. Now, if you speak to a pilot, and, you know, there's a reason why when we go fly a plane that there is a door between the pilot and everybody else, because we don't want to know what they go through. And every time that they crash a plane, we call it a landing. They call it a controlled crash. So 40%, 60%, 90%, there's a percent every time you get in a plane, you're going to crash. There is a percentage every time you get in a marriage, you are going to get divorced. But we still do it. We still fly. Because guess what? It's a lot. You get you a lot faster there than driving, right? So we still
fly. Are we getting married anymore?
Well, I have to say that there's something inside men, and there's something inside men that have this need for belonging. After they play the field long enough and feel like, oh, another girl left me, or this thing didn't work out, or I had to let her go because she wanted this and I couldn't give her that, you still want to be a part of some type of relationship. So you figure, all right, if I lock it up and get married, I'll have that. That's my guarantee. But you still got to deal with the consequences of your decision, whether it gets born or not. I mean, you got to make it interesting. That's the hard part. That's where the work is.
Sure.
But I think we have a belonging. That's why we do. Otherwise, I mean, I'm asking you, why would anybody get married? You're doing it because you have something in you saying you should do it.
No, I think because women bug you to get married. I think for most part, I mean, if you're in a long-term relationship, after a couple of years, women, they're going to put the hint that they want to get married. Most of them do. They really want to. I don't think most men want to get married, but women really want to get married more than men.
I once told this girl a long time ago, and I was dating, and we were getting hot and heavy and all that, and she had two kids, and I didn't want to deal with the kids. I said, you know, I know we really getting close, but I don't want you falling in love with me. Whatever you thinking, whatever you feeling, you need to stop. Don't fall in love with me.
You told a woman that, and you wanted her to listen to that?
I did. And she respected it as being honest. And to this day, she respected it as being honest.
Well, she's a fun buddy, though. She's a fun buddy, right? She's just a fun buddy. I'm not going to use the other word. I'm just going to say fun buddy.
Oh, yeah, I understand. Yeah, I heard that term a while ago.
You know, you better not get attached, because that's not the kind of party that it is.
Well, yeah. You know? I mean, that's how I had to be posed. I mean, I was talking about like something 15 years ago, but still. I mean, I figured to protect me and protect her, I had to tell her full stop. You know, when they can go no further than that.
Okay.
And I think that's what protects you from getting getting in relationships that potentially will end in failure, or marrying somebody that will end in failure. I mean, just like the brother said, he's been twice in it. I've been twice in it. This is my second time in it. So
me too.
You know,
me too.
So it's not like it's you know, you always ask me, okay, well, okay, if you did it once, why would you do it a second time? Because I mean, it's two ways. I mean, the girl wants to get married. And then you think about it, maybe you want to get married too. Maybe you want something long term. You want to have a family. You want to do the right thing. And I think that's what it boils down to. But I think sometimes men look at it and say, "Oh, I did it because she had kids. I did it because we had a child together. I did it because she was with me." But if you think about it, if you were able to tell somebody in your past it wasn't going to work out, you had the same guts to tell this one it wasn't going to work out, but you didn't. You still got married.
I think that we're breaking it down like going to a financial planner and planning a future. I don't think it's that way. And I think that we're missing the biggest point here, which is the wife. We got to give the woman some credit. And I'm just going to tell you, you know, when I started dating my wife, I said I got to marry this woman. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. It was just a matter of when. When and how fast can I get it done? You know what I'm saying? And I think that that's the issue that we're missing when we talk about why did we get married? And, you know, I could have done something else. But, no, that was the thing to do at the time because that's how you felt strongly about this woman. And I believe we all felt the same thing because we had plenty of options, but one of them got the ring.
And can I drop a monkey wrench right there, Mr. Hose?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I think that maybe it was you. You talked about the quote-unquote the fun buddies.
For lack of a better word. For lack of the other word. But go ahead.
sure. I mean, let's talk about, you know, them fun buddies that you used to be with. And, you know, Wale has a song, had a song out called Bad. And in the chorus, you know, and pardon my language, but it went as such. She's saying, "Is it bad that I've never made love? No, I never did it, but I sure know how to fuck. I'll be your bad girl. I'll prove it to you. I can't promise that I'll be good to you because I have some issues. I won't commit. No, not having it. But at least I can admit that I'll be bad. Yeah, I'll be good in bed, but I'll be bad to you. Bad that I never made love? No, I've never did it, but I sure know how to fuck." And, again, pardon the language, Mr. Host, but the question I want to ask is, you know, when you think about those fun buddies who used to do any and everything you wanted to in the bedroom, you chose not to marry them. Why is that?
No.
Why is that?
That's a really good point.
Not to marry them.
That is a great point, brother. And, you know, again, the magic, the chemistry for marriage wasn't there. And, you know, we all say, this is one I'll take home to meet mom. And if you don't say that, if you don't feel that about this person, then they all just going to be that fun buddy. I just think that a certain woman comes with a certain kind of flavor that gets the ring. Period.
Yeah. That's it. You're right. And you know what? Do you know what surprised me? Certain women, I know certain women have been married like 5-6 times.
Ooh,
and they still continue to get married. So have you been around women that have been married 4 or 5 times, got kids, and they still get men to marry them? I've never understood that. Huh?
I know one and no kids going on the 4th.
Yeah, and I know women have been married 4 times and have no problem getting men to marry them. I don't know how that is, how that works, man. But some women just know how to get men to marry them.
Yeah, but tying it back, you know, tying this all back to the topic, you know, in a sense, you know, why are we comparing someone who earned the ring to someone, you know, someone basically who's not wife material, you know, versus someone that is? So, you know, in talking about she used to be a freak, and I'm sure we have some nostalgia of, you know, the fun buddy that you could call them up and say, you know, I want you this way. I'll be home in a minute, and it better be ready for me. Or you can tell them whatever you want. And you laugh because you know I'm telling the truth. But the thing is that what I'm saying is that,
hell yeah, I had them.
You know, so why are we comparing on some level when we talk about she used to be a freak? You know, why are we comparing the fun buddies, you know, to the ones that earned the ring that were wife material? I mean, to me,
I think it's essential. I think the comparison is essential. I think that men need to be reminded of where they came from and what they had. I think you have to look about that. I think you have to remind yourself what you had before, what you gave up, what you took. I think it's essential.
I also think we're overthinking this, too. We're overthinking this because, like, I had fun buddies before. I had this one chick. I was with her because she had a very large protruding buttocks. Okay, that's why I was with her. All right, that's it. She had a big butt, big ass. It's that simple. Yeah. That's why I was with her for about 5-6 years. You know, that's it.
So let me throw.
But she had a very small brain. Okay, that's why she didn't get the ring. All right.
Thank you. You just answered the question.
Let me throw something out there. I believe that our wives didn't earn the ring as much as we gave it to them. I think that we mostly, some of us got tired and we weren't looking for Miss Right. We was just looking for Miss Right Now, and then we just got tired of being with Miss Right Now and say, you know what, I'm getting older. I want to settle down. I want kids, and she might be a good candidate. And I think a lot of times we settle because a lot of times women bring the same thing to the table. All of them do. I mean, some with a little bit more drama than others, but they all bring the same thing because when we on this phone every Tuesday night, we find out that a lot of our wives are the same. We find out that a lot of them, they get on our nerves the same. They complain the same. They keep the booty to themselves the same, you know. So a lot of it is across the board pretty much the same.
But you got to be careful about the convenience, about the – not that you can help it, but I think sometimes we always label people and say, oh, you married out of convenience, so you're dating her out of convenience.
No, we don't say that up front. We don't say that. We don't even recognize it. As men, we don't even recognize it. It's just that one showed her colors before the other one did, or one held on to it for a long time, because I know for a fact that each one of us wouldn't be with our wives today if we thought the booty was going to stop once we got with her or once we got married.
So let me ask you a question. What's the difference between the girl that's working right now at cash register number 6 at Walmart and your wife, if they're all the same?
Well, I can't really compare the one that's working at Walmart, but what I can compare if you put it all in the same basket, it's another woman that's working in the same field as my wife, same education as my wife, that I probably dated before my wife. Now, why did I pick her over my wife? It's because she probably said something stupid, but did my wife eventually end up saying that same stupid thing? Probably did. But I mean, my only point is, pretty much a lot of them are the same. You know, some has sex with more guys than we would like them to, but at the end of the day, a lot of them are the same. A lot of them, I mean, and I don't like to, I don't, I wish a woman can't hear me. I mean, this is one of the basement conversations for real. I'm beginning to recognize a pattern with women when they want the same thing, they act the same ways, they've got some of the same ways, the jealousies, the wants, the needs, and for the most part, they're the same.
Then you can say the same thing about men. I mean, you can say the same thing about cars. You can say the same thing about dogs. You can say, that's throwing everybody in a, I mean, I've dated a lot of women, and I remember something different about every single one of them.
I'm not saying there's no difference in them. I'm just saying the makeup is pretty much the same. And once we uncover all of the things that we like about them and don't like about them, the shell is still the same. And we know, and the ways even. I mean, some a little bit, like my wife, she was real cool before, and then when we got married, you know, she stopped being as cool as she was. And then I think I said this before, that's when I found out, wait a minute, why were you so cool and now you all uptight now? And I found out she used to smoke weed, and I didn't even know she was smoking weed. I said, yo, you might need to get back on that stuff because you tripping. You know, because she was just so laid back. I said, I can't believe I found a girl this cool. I ain't never met a girl like this. And that got me.
She drank wine? Does she drink wine or anything like that?
Yeah, she drank wine, but, you know, she was just
Yeah, I mean, you got to give her something weed equivalent.
I thought you asked about the wine. That's funny.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? If you wanted to get back to that state, because listen, that's that representative we talking about right there. She wasn't
right.
So what you're saying was she ain't really laid back. Just the weed had a laid back.
The weed had a laid back.
So you're trying to say that when you say representative, you're talking about the person trying to act as if they want to tell you everything that you want to hear and know, but
yes.
They're not showing their real self. I'm just learning that term.
That's exactly what it is.
Now, if everybody can agree that they married a representative of somebody who thought they was going to be married to for the rest of their life, and they found out after they got married that it was just a representative that got them in the door. I'm raising my hand. I'm raising my hand. Okay.
You're right. I don't think you're going to find anybody that's going to dispute that. Everybody that got married a representative. Everybody did. We all lied about something. I did, you did, everybody did. We was on our best behavior to get to that point, to achieve that goal. You know what I mean? I mean, we cleaned our apartment, we cleaned our cars, we smelled good, we bought cologne, stuff we don't even do now. We did.
They call that courtship.
Courtship. It is what it is. You can't really hold nobody accountable for trying to impress you. You know what I mean? That's like lying on a resume, telling a little lie. Yeah, I wasn't really there for 5 years, but I was there for 6 months. But, you know, I got my boy that's going to verify. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, so you are agreeing that all of them basically pretty much the same.
No,
at the end of the day.
I'm not agreeing that
they're
the same.
You know what? That's actually an insult, brother. You can't say, well, honestly, that's really an insult. You can't. I just finished having this conversation with my wife the other day about the horoscopes. Actually, this morning, about the horoscopes. And classifying people, say, okay, if you were Virgo, you all Virgo this way. Now, everybody has the same can have similar behaviors, but they're going to react to certain things differently. Although you may get that same reaction or that same, they may say that same phrase a time, you know, as long as you know them, but they're not going to, no one's going to react to the same situation.
I didn't say they was going to react. That's not what I said they were the same in. I'm not saying the reaction would be the same. I'm saying the result would be the same. So whether she slaps you upside your head, shoots you in the head, or kick you out of the house, or just like one girl did, she kind of took all my brother's clothes to the cleaners and brought them over to us and said, tell your brother's nice meeting him, nice knowing him, and I don't ever want to see him again. Instead of bringing his clothes over there all cut up and burnt up, she took them to the cleaners and brought them in nice bags. But the result was still the same. She still left them, you know. So I'm not saying the reactions are the same at all. I'm not saying all of them react the same way. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay. I hear you.
Well, let's go back to the point about the freak thing, about the girl being the freak. Let's go back to the point of the conversation. So you say the girl, did you marry a freak? Is that what it was?
Yes, sir. Yes. Well, she used to be a freak is the topic for tonight.
All right. So she used to be a freak, and then I guess the idea is that she used to be, so that's past tense, and she ain't a freak now.
Yeah. Exactly.
So what you want us to think about in this here conversation is if she's not a freak now, what happened?
What happened? Thank you. That's it right there.
Okay.
What happened? And it could be a number of things. But I don't think that it's, you know, they all came in as freaks and they're all not freaks now. I mean, I don't, you know, put them everybody in the same category. I think that certain things happen in certain situations that change people in marriage. And then we talked about the representative coming in. They weren't a freak, but they were trying to appear to be freakish to achieve a certain goal. And now that they've achieved the goal, they no longer have to be freakish. And those that came later, we weren't talking about a freak as someone that spent a lot of time with a lot of different people, just someone that's sexually adventurous. You see what I'm saying? So, go ahead.
Yeah, and I'll add something to what you just said, Mr. Host. And, you know, what if it's true, you know, that your wife was never a freak, that was just a representative, and, you know, she was really, I think you said, just a wannabe freak or something, but she never really was, okay? And, you know, you're married now, she's got the ring, she's got the gold or whatever, but, you know, what if she never will be? You know, would the man be less sexually frustrated if he finally came to that realization that she's never going to be a freak? Or is there, you know, are we thinking that is she not a freak simply because the freak has never been unleashed in her? You know, maybe the man hasn't tapped into it. You know, so I guess there are a couple of things there. Part A is, mm-hmm. you know, what if she never will be a freak? You know, it'll just be continue to, you know, you get your regular or whatever, however you want to call it, but it's not quote-unquote freak status. You know, and part B is that maybe the man hasn't tapped into unleash that freak that is, you know, deep down in her.
Mm.
You know, maybe that's the problem.
Well, the one fact that we do know is that she's got freak potential because she would have never got the ring. So whatever she did during that time period made you believe that you had the real deal.
Not that the man was a faggot, like the man said before.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, there's something that she did during that time period that you all were dating, or the beginning of the marriage, where she led you to believe that she would do the things that you like to do sexually. So we know that she's got the potential. I think the question now is, how do we get her to get back to her full potential? Because if she never did the stuff, then you probably wouldn't have married her anyway. Or she could have lied and said, well, you only get these cookies the way you want them when you put this ring on my finger. Then you fell for the 52 fake out. Then shame on you. I'm just saying.
That's funny.
You
because
know what I mean?
As I just stated earlier, is that I think I eloquently stated it too, by the way, but that's beside the point. But you didn't marry the freak. You didn't marry the one where you could get it, you know, any way you want it, whenever you want it. It was no complaints. You didn't marry that one, you know. And some of them, you know, let's be honest, fellas, some of those ladies that you used to smash are probably still freaks today. But guess what? They still ain't got no ring. Ain't nobody proposed to them yet.
You wrong.
You know, some of them. Now, some of them been
married
four or five times, you know, but what I'm getting at is that's the only thing, and as the brother stated earlier, I mean, that's the only thing they bring to the table is that they're freaking a bedroom. You know what I mean? Other than that, it's like, how are we going to hold a conversation or whatever the case, or how I'm going to bring you home to my mother, you know? So, you know, back to your point is that you did marry the one, to some extent, that wasn't doing all the quote-unquote, I mean, maybe she was doing a little bit of that, but definitely not on the level of the fun buddies. Because you never thought about putting a ring on a fun buddy. Never even thought about it. Like the brother said, it's like, don't get too attached to me. You know, it ain't like
that.
It
has to be a balance. It has to be some type of balance, I would suppose.
Yeah.
See, a good work ethic or something. Something that says, okay, that can balance this, and I have more to talk about than just...
Yeah, I think he just dropped off. But I hear you. And I think there are other things that disqualify women from getting in the ring other than the fact that they're great in bed. It's just some other things. You know what I mean? But, again, we have to give credit to the woman that we married for being that much greater. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So there's something that she – it's not what the other woman didn't do, but it's something that your wife did do to make you say, I got to put this ring on you. I got to spend the rest of my life with you. There's something that she said, something that she did, something that she promised you, something that she showed you that said, this is the real deal. I'm in it.
Yeah, and you said something interesting, Mr. Host, and that is, you know, putting the ball back in our court, whereas you said that I've got to put the, you have got to get the ring. And what I mean by that is that there was a sense of romanticism, feelings and emotions and such things. And we were in a different mindset as we were dating her or courting her, for some of you old heads. So, and now, maybe the fact is, you know, she used to be a freak because on some level, you used to be more romantic. Whereas now, you married, and maybe, you know, the things that you were doing, you know, you're going ring shopping, you know, you got these feelings, and it's like, man, I just got to get her a ring, I got to get her the right ring, and I'm doing this and doing that, whereas you kind of don't really feel that way anymore, and you kind of expect her to be the same, quote-unquote, level of freakness when you were doing all those things. Maybe you were doing, you know, writing her notes or giving her flowers or whatever it is you used to do, is that now that you're married, you're expecting her still to be that freak where you used to be romantic and now you ain't. So she like, I ain't going to be a freak no more because I don't feel, you know, I don't feel, you know, you don't make me feel like you used to back in the day when we were dating, if that makes any sense.
Let me ask you. I'm just going to ask this one question, and brother, you got it. I'm just going to ask this one question.
Yes.
So what you're telling me is that if your wife were to stop doing the romantic things that she used to do, right, and stop doing those things that really turned you on, that you're going to be less of a freak as a man?
I think it's different. I mean, I think it's different between, you know, men and women are wired different. So I don't think that's a fair comparison, if I can answer that way. Because men, when we're going to be, as long as there's no health issues, as we stated earlier, no erectile dysfunction or anything like that, I mean, we're going to, for the most part, I mean, some men do let themselves go and stop working out, stop bathing. You know, stop keeping themselves clean, basic hygiene. I mean, those things happen, and, you know, they still expect to get some booty, you know, and it just doesn't work like that. So, but, I mean, other than that, you know, outside of those extremities, you know, no, I think that, you know, men and women are just wired differently in that respect.
Okay, brother. There was a brother who wanted to talk. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, you had brought up the comment about romance and keeping things romantic.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what you said?
So yes, I did.
What did y'all do for Valentine's Day? Did y'all do stuff? I mean, take a wild survey. People, the brothers on the call, what did y'all do for Valentine's Day?
Yeah, I'll start. I actually spent Valentine's Day at home with my wife and three kids because it snowed. So, but I did have big plans. You know, our plans was to go on a lunch cruise on the Potomac, something we had never done before. And, you know, I totally disagree with the brother who was saying earlier about, you know, there are no upsides to marriage and that sort of thing. And, you know, I just let him state his point, but I 100% disagree because I continue to try to find ways to date my wife and to spend time with my wife, you know, especially, you know, with three three young children, it makes it a bit difficult and challenging, you know, when you do try to do something. So I try to make that a priority, and I look forward to it, you know, and it's so many upsides, you know, to being married, and I 100%, you know, enjoy being married, and it's, you just have to continue to find ways to keep it fresh. And, you know, I've been married 15 years. And, you know, the brother is talking, I've been with my wife for 19 years. So, but I still, absolutely, I mean, it's, of course, the love has evolved and transitioned over the 19 years that I've known her. And we've had three children, you know, along the way. So the love has changed. But I still have that, you know, that, those feelings of I still long for her. I still want to be around her. I still, you know, like seeing her when I come home from work, you know, those sort of things. And I still like talking to her, whereas, mm-hmm. unfortunately, a lot of marriages don't have that. And I think it's because you have to keep your marriage a priority. You know, dating, sex life, I mean, all of that, it has to be, you have to make it a priority. And if you don't make it a priority, it's going to fall by the wayside, and you're going to be looking, you know, outside of your marriage to fill those needs.
Good words.
Yeah. Looking outside your marriage is not the right thing to do. Not necessarily the right thing, but I think it's because it's unhealthy.
Well, you know, a lot of times people look outside their marriage as a cry for attention.
Right.
Like I was saying earlier, a lot of times, you love your wife and you want to be with your wife. You really don't want to be with the next woman, but sometimes it's so unbearable, you know what I mean, that you want her to notice you, because she doesn't. She doesn't validate you. She doesn't tell you how good of a husband you are. She's not your cheerleader. So then you're looking for a cheerleader elsewhere, and you're going to find a cheerleader elsewhere, because like somebody said earlier, a married man is a marked man. Women want a married man because they look and see security, stability, somebody that's going to come in and rescue them from being single. You know what I mean? And they think that a lot of there's women out there that will believe that you're going to leave your wife and go with them, you know, because they can do it better, you know. So cheating is not always just because you're greedy, but it's because you want to be noticed. We married somebody because we could have our own person. This person is my own better half, just my other half. You know, she belongs to me. I belong to her. You know what I'm saying? And when that person, when you put everything, all your eggs in that basket, and that basket ain't acting right, then you don't know what to do, because you're like, okay, these are my only options. So that's when you start looking for other options. So she'll say, okay, you know, let me stop paying attention to my husband because he's obviously looking elsewhere.
Yeah, and on the flip side, Mr. Host, I'll add it, and I'll go at it this way. You know, what about the married woman that cheats? And let's say she's cheating with Tyrone. Do you think Tyrone is complaining that this married woman is not a freak? Probably not.
She a freak for Tyrone.
Thank you. So it's
That's
still in
fact.
Her. You know, as you said earlier, that it's, she has the freak potential, because Tyrone ain't got no complaints. It's
Tyrone ain't got no plan. Tyrone is getting it the way you ain't getting it. Tyrone
Thank
is
you.
Getting it the way you was once getting it.
Thank you.
That's
and
a
why
hard
is
reality
that?
Right there. That's a hard reality.
That is a hard reality. Tyrone ain't got no complaints. You know?
That's right.
And
guess what?
And
guess what? Tyrone is doing less work. Because he's Mr. Cleanup.
Exactly.
Tyrone is just Mr. Cleanup. Go ahead.
Tyrone, you know, lay it down and send her back home to you, have you moping on the couch how she used to be a freak, where she just turned it out for Tyrone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You sitting there
and
like,
she walked by you. She walked by you when she get in and say, hope you had a nice day, honey. I'm going to take a shower and go to bed.
Yeah.
That's cruel and unusual punishment.
Hey, man,
it is what it is.
Exactly right. You know, I'm tired. I had a long day.
Tired.
Tyrone wore me out.
mm-hmm.
And you sitting there like, huh? I thought I was going to get lucky tonight.
mm-hmm. So let me ask this next question. I was trying to hold off on it a minute because it's a hurtful one, but I'm gonna ask this next question.
Oh gosh.
Is it easier for your wife to fake an orgasm than to tell you what's really wrong with the sex in your marriage?
Whew, man.
That's hurtful.
Man.
It's hurtful. It's hurtful. I apologize in advance. I'm sorry, but it's hurtful.
Wow, Mr. Host.
I mean, do we even know when the orgasms are being faked? Do we even know?
I would hope we know.
So what do you do? Say thank you for playing. I had fun.
I don't know.
I mean,
I mean, but the question was: is it easier for them to fake an orgasm than to communicate to you what's wrong in the marriage? And I think it depends.
Okay. I think it depends. More courage. It takes more courage on her part to tell you what's wrong. It's easy to fake it. But it takes
right.
more courage to tell you what's wrong.
Right. Right. Yeah, because she ain't faking it with Tyrone, is she?
Well, think about it. She ain't got to be real with Tyrone. Tyrone don't ask her what the real talk is. He don't need real talk. You see? Tyrone don't need to be validated. He getting validated. He ain't got to, he ain't going through the same issues. He's not bested.
Anybody else with that? Anybody else want to take a stab at that? Because I know it's just three of us talking. Anybody else want to take a stab at that? Is it easier for the fake an orgasm than to tell you what's really going wrong with your marriage? And that sounds like it's gotten to a point, right? Because it just doesn't happen like that year two, I don't think, year one. It's got to go through a long line of her giving you hints and saying, okay, I'm not going to always take one for the team. Okay, there's certain things that I need in this bed. There's certain things I need you to do outside of this bed. Certain things I need help. And certain things she's just not getting. But what she is getting from you is, hey, it's time to have sex. I hear what you're saying, but guess what? Now it's time to have sex. So then she's like, well, you know, I'm your wife. I'm going to have sex with you because it's my duty. You know what I mean? But I'm going to do it. This is how I'm going to do it.
Well, you know, if your wife, I mean, I can't really speak on faking the orgasm because, you know, I ain't toot my own horn, but, you know, we push it down, you know. So, you know, we get it in, whether we screwing or fighting, we getting it on. But the point is that if you have a solid marriage, then, you know, faking won't probably be a part of it. And if it is a part of it, then it won't be a serious problem unless it's a faking. Unless you're faking every single time, or you find yourself faking, or find her faking more so than, you know, a few times. I mean, if she's doing it more than once in 3 months, 4 months, then that's a problem that she needs to talk to you about. But if she's not, if it's like, okay, I'll go and take one for the team, that's just once in a while. So it's kind of hard to lock that down because, you know, I don't think dudes, for the most part, fake orgasms. I think women probably fake it more so. We can't fake it. It's either coming or it's not.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm. Okay. Okay. Good words. And I get that, you know what I mean? And we should know, I think we should know whether they're faking or not. I think you can really be, I think that you can't be on top of your game as a married man if your wife can fool you with a faked orgasm. And that might be saying a bunch. But I just believe that, you know, at some point you got to know her body, you got to know what she does, you got to know how that lower body, how that back arches. You know what I mean? You got to know when she's coming. When she's coming, how she's coming. You got to know. If she can fake an orgasm, you ain't on top of your game. Anybody agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand that, but I think, you know, you also have to think about how aroused are you, and is she doing what she needs to do to arouse you? I mean, if you've been there for a while and you just can't be aroused to the point where you know you could be, that's another situation.
Yeah, because it happens to us. And I think that it's men deal with, you know, when you get to a certain age, you deal with erectile dysfunction. Not everybody, but I think that's something that we
all have. Nah, brother, I don't have that, but I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying, I believe that at some point that's maybe a reality that we may have to deal with at some point in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as older you get, 60, 70, whatever it is, you know, you may start having, you know, difficulty. But there's sometimes in a marriage where you don't have ED and you still have a dysfunction because it's not, it's just like the brother said earlier, it's not exciting. You're like, oh, we got to do the same thing over again. Oh, it's the same way. Or you're getting ready to get it on, and then she starts talking about, you know, I need you to go take out the trash. Or I need you to, you know, something in the middle of romance, you know, that'll just make you say, I'll do it, but I'm not really ready to do it. I don't really want to do it. You feel what I'm saying? I think the same thing happens to men that happens to women, even though we are the biggest freaks in the relationship, but I think that we can get turned off, too, in the point where we have an erection and the erection just goes away. Be like, yeah, she just ruined it for me.
Yeah. I mean, you're making a little bit of sense, you know, Mr. Host, you know, because you talk about, you know, we're the biggest freaks in a relationship. That may or may not be true because, you know, last week's show was Why Do Men Lie? And, you know, a lot of times men talk about all the stuff that our wives won't do or, you know, don't or won't do sexually as if we're ready and willing to try everything and anything ourselves. And the bottom line is you ain't no freak. You know, it's stuff that you ain't never trying, period, the end. Don't even ask.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's the fact of the matter. So, I mean, what if, you know, why are we so focused on her whereas it might be important that you be a freak, that you try something different, brother. You know, so aside from the spoiling the mood of taking the trash out or whatever the case may be, you know, what if the fact that, you know, the realization is that when it comes down to it, you ain't no freak. So you want her to do this and try this and swing from the chandeliers, but when it comes to you, it's like, nah, I ain't doing that. I ain't never doing it. Don't even ask no more. Don't even bring it up. I ain't doing it. So, I mean, is that even fair?
Man, God bless the woman that wants to bring new stuff into the bedroom. God bless her. God bless the woman that's bringing that freaky stuff, saying, honey, guess what I thought about today? We need to try it. God bless her. May she write a book. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but again, what you're talking about, man, is real. You know what I'm saying? But are we even getting that option? Or are we already closed? Are we closed at hello? Well, you didn't have me at hello, and no, I'm not, you know, you can't put your finger wherever you want to put it. I'm not down with that. Well, no, you can't bring no toys to bed. I'm not down with that. Are we that closed-minded as men?
What are you talking about? In terms of your marriage?
Yeah, in the marriage.
Well, why would we be closed?
Well, I mean, there's certain things that we may not do that they want us to do. But I think that there is some danger there. And let me tell you what I mean by that.
Well, that means that your stuff is insufficient.
It could mean that. Or it could mean she learned a new trick while she's married to you.
Where'd she
and
she
tried to
from?
Introduce it in the bedroom.
Where'd she learn the trick from?
Hopefully she was reading it in a magazine and not from somebody else.
Tyrone taught me.
You know what I mean?
That's where this is headed. Tyrone told her the trick.
Yeah. But see, now it all goes back to the beginning of what the questions that I asked in the beginning of the conversation. That life that she had before you, those things that she did before you, now that she can't do anymore because we don't know how to receive it. She can't come to you year five talking about, hey, I need you to try this position right here. And you'd be like, where'd you get that from?
Mm.
Oh, I used to do it in college, and I really liked it.
Okay, let's be honest. How many brothers on this call married a virgin?
I did not.
Hello,
none.
Anybody?
None.
Okay, all right, so really, were you a virgin when you got married?
No, listen, you're right.
Nope.
You're 100% correct, but she can't introduce nothing new without question.
Can you, though?
Probably not. Probably not. I'm going to keep it real. She went, like, why you want to do that all of a sudden? Why are we doing that all of a sudden? We ain't never did that before. You better bring a porno home and be like, this is where I learned it from. I was watching this. This is where I learned it from.
And then she said to you, which is uncomfortable, why were you looking at that? And what were you doing while you were looking at that?
Hey, look, I'd rather say that I was looking at that than I say, you know, Tracy at work showed it to me. I'm gonna take the lesser of the two evils.
Yeah, because the latter part, you'd be taking a serious hit on that. You wouldn't get nothing.
Yeah.
But let's just boil it down, fellas. Is freak short for frequency? And what I mean by that is that maybe you're not getting.
I think you're very astute. You're very astute. Freak. I think it is short for frequency. You're very astute there.
Yeah, because I mean, I think that aside from maybe you're not getting the different positions or the different, you know, trying this, trying that, but if the frequency was there, would you have as many complaints? You know, if the frequency was consistent, you know, month after month, but it wasn't anything quote unquote new or, you know, outside the box, then would you have as many complaints with the, oh, well, she won't do this, or she won't do that, if the frequency was there?
I think the frequency is a buffer, no doubt. It will take your mind off of the drive, the creative drive. It beats a blank. Let's put it that way. It beats a blank. She can say, well, at least I'm doing it. You know, there's no man that's going to argue with that. You know what I mean? But, you know. But, again, like the brother said earlier, it can get stale, too. Yeah, you know, it's now it's a routine. Now it's just something that we just do, you know. And it probably is going to land on the same time every week when you do it. You know. And that's different than it was when you were dating because you didn't establish those times. Those times, that schedule that you have now wasn't there.
Hey, I'm gonna come across kind of odd with this phraseology, but I asked someone a long time ago, what is the difference for a woman to have a boyfriend versus a friend? And she told me, she said that a boyfriend is a man with female tendencies. He's not gay. He's a real man. But he has the ability to show some kind of emotion and connect with a woman. And with that combination, you're supposed to be able to get whatever you want to get out of that relationship. What do y'all think?
Well, you didn't say about the friend. Tell me about the friend. What did she say about the friend?
No. The friend is supposed to, the friend don't have those tendencies.
So he's just
knocking it down. My friend is not effable, all right?
Okay.
The friend is not effable, but the boyfriend has this manly, he's a manly man, right? But he has the tendencies enough for a woman to have a relationship with him. That's what she's saying. You got to be a manly man, but have these tendencies enough for a woman to attach to him. And then you can unleash the other side of that woman when you have that kind of connection. Otherwise, it don't really work. Anybody hear that before?
I heard that. It's very interesting, though. Yes, and the boyfriend normally sometimes becomes the husband.
Right, he's not necessarily married to her, but he exhibits husband-like qualities.
Yes. Yes. That's very interesting. And I think you got something there, because I think without those characteristics, you know, she doesn't feel as though she wants to move past whatever state you're at, because you're just going to be a robot. You can't ever be in touch with what she's feeling.
So in other words, instead of being one-dimensional, you're two-dimensional. And I guess
yes.
When you get married, you're three-dimensional.
Yes.
So what does that mean? When you're a friend, you're a friend. That's one dimension. When you're dating a woman, you're with her physically and mentally. Okay, so that's two dimensions. And when you marry her or you're in a long-term relationship, it's three dimensions because you're with her mentally, physically, and emotionally. And
yeah.
That emotion part is the thing that women say, oh, okay, he's husband potential.
Yeah,
and I think that's how I understood it.
I think the analogy of you see two guys in an elevator. One guy's got sweatpants and a sweat hood and Timberlands. The other guy's got a suit, a jacket, a tie, fresh haircut, and a briefcase. Which one are you going to call Mister?
The dude in the suit.
Exactly.
The
so,
yeah.
So it's so I think it's the title that separates us. I think that when the person has the boyfriend title, other than just a friend, I think he's earned that because of certain characteristics, the way he carries himself, the way that he does things, the way that he presents himself to her. I think the title is the whole thing. Now that he's got a title, he's got the room to move on for advancement, other than the person that's just friend. He may not have advancement capabilities because the way he is, you know, the way she sees him now. If that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, somebody ain't going to call you the man, and you ain't. That means you handle your business.
But that's right. That's like respect. That's like respect. Respect
yes.
is not given. It's earned. So
exactly.
Each level of title, as you say, is an earned title. So you have to sort of graduate from friend to boyfriend to whatever comes after that.
That was a great analogy. Anybody got anything else? Because I got a monkey wrench.
No, sir. Go ahead with it.
Okay. Anybody ever watched the show Being Mary Jane?
Nope.
Okay, maybe not.
Heard about it.
Being that side chick?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I watched the show Being Mary Jane. It's probably on tonight. I don't know if it's... Well, it's normally on Tuesdays. And I got a clip from it, and the clip is the actual monkey wrench. And within the clip, there's a husband and wife talking, and you can hear music. It's got music. But then you hear another sound, and it's the sound of text messaging, right? So when the husband and wife are talking, the text message is coming from the side chick, okay? Just so when you hear it, you'll know exactly what's happening. Hold on one second.
Have sex all the time.
World.
not feel sad. Yeah.
Everybody hear that clear?
Mm-hmm.
So the question,
I understood it.
So the question that I want to throw out there, because they're talking about this extra woman, obviously, who's giving him head in the morning or whenever he wants it, and the wife is trying to defend why she doesn't do it, and she's trying to justify, okay, yeah, but I'm doing it anyway, I'm having sex with you, but he's got some other issues. So right now we're going to the grown man hour because it's 11:15. So the question that I want to throw out there is, does the head change when a woman gets older?
Nope.
No?
No.
So
why would it?
If she's 25, she's doing it as frequent as she was.
No, you confused it. No, you confused it. You said that the lady that was Mercy wasn't doing it at all, right?
She was. I mean, her response was, I am, but who wants to wake up in the morning with a penis in my mouth? So maybe she's picking and choosing when she's doing it. So, I mean, when does that part change? Does it have anything to do with age? Does it have anything to do with them being bored? Does it have anything to do with them looking at it as a reward for you being a good boy? When does that change in America?
That's
when
a,
does that freaky part
of,
change?
That's a sense of comfort, man. I've been there. I've experienced that. That's given her peace of mind, not talking about it like it's a problem, let her come to herself, giving her her space, being patient, it'll come back to you. But if you press it out, you'll never get it.
Hmm. Okay. Anybody else?
I think that's good words.
I think you know, if your woman is doing her best to satisfy you, and you're not, I mean, it does become a point when it's just selfish, and you know, between, you know, like if she say, you know, this is something I don't like doing, but I'll do it because I love you and I know you like doing it, and I'll probably grow to love doing it, you know, and especially if you're reciprocating. And you know, and this is the comfort zone that we have to make everybody comfortable in the bedroom. And if everybody's comfortable in the bedroom, it just can't be one sided. And a lot of times, especially when it comes to guys, it's just one sided. You know, some people that I don't talk to three people that actually said that, you know, after he get his, he goes to sleep, and then I'm just left there, and he'll tell me in a minute, and that minute never comes. And that was the result of her not wanting to do it anymore. In one case, in different cases, it just depends on the selfish act. You know, how come to every, you know, seven times I hook you up, you only get me once? You know, that was another case. So, you know, but the guys had complaints about the sex life, but the women's rebuttal to the sex life was, I'm not doing this with you because you want me to do this all the time, and you don't never want to reciprocate, you know. So it all seems like it has to be fair, you know. It has to be fair. If to every matter of fact, I think the man should be doing most of the eating to put her to sleep, you know. Vice versa, you know, because that's your woman, and you should make sure that she's completely satisfied.
So. Sounds like 68, and I owe you one?
Say what now?
And I'm with you. The man should be setting the stage.
Right, especially with if he wants something done, he need to be putting it out there that he by doing what he need to do for her.
But you do know that in some relationships, 69 is kind of the only way that a man's going to get all the pleasure is if he starts and then he throws that thing in her face and she's got nothing to do. I mean, it's right.
But is that a problem? Why is that a problem? That's not a problem. That makes it interesting.
You're right. You are right. But what about the man that just said, man, what's the big deal with me getting a little bit head in the morning? I wake up and you give me some head. That's his thing. You feel what I'm saying? That's his thing.
Yeah.
That's his thing. We all have our things. And that's what makes us different.
You should continue dating. You should continue dating because marriage is about compromise. You can't get your thing all the time. When you're dating, you can find a chick to give you your thing Monday through Friday. But when you're married, no, that's all about compromise. You got her thing, you got your thing, you find a balance, and then hopefully you get it when y'all are mutually agreeable.
I don't agree with
bad,
that.
Bad, or whatever. I'm telling
I don't agree with
you,
that.
When, okay, at the end of the day, you're going to humble yourself and you're going to figure it out.
You're right. Seriously. I don't agree with you. Let me tell you why I don't agree with you. If my wife told me, well, let me just take me out of it. If it was a brother, any brother, the wife said to him, I need you to make sure that kitchen is clean every day. Just make sure the kitchen is clean every day, and you'll never have to ask me for a blowjob or for oral sex ever again. That'll be the cleanest kitchen in this part of whatever town you live in. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're absolutely right, brother. I mean, I got that. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So you tell me what I need to do to get what I like. That's all. I think the problem is we're not broke. It's not broken down to man science. Tell me,
no, because
like I'm a man.
It's not cut and dry like that. It's not cut and dry like that. You take the emotion out of it. You see, if I do this task, I get that task. It's not cut and dry like that, brother.
But it should be. I mean, think about
boy.
It. You want certain
things.
That's
why, excuse the expression, and I am not this way. I am not this way.
Sure.
But excuse the expression. But that's why they got faggots. Because they ain't got to deal with the emotion. Them men, they choose to do what they do, and they fuss back.
Yeah, but
then...
Wait. Hold on. Back up, cuz.
They got emotions, too, bro.
Can you relate
well,
that?
I'm not really trying. You know what? The reason why I brought up in my weird sense of understanding of men, because I ain't a faggot, but my real sense of understanding of men, I feel that if you are... man, because you're born that way, you would take that same mentality and do that.
Let's change that word because that word is really offensive. Let's just change it to what something else other than that. Because this is a radio show and people might get offended. We don't want to do that. So let's just flip that word. But I just think that all of us have emotions. Men, women, we all have some emotions. Regardless of what the situation is, you can't take emotions out of it. Well, go ahead.
But with that, though, I mean, if I don't understand why that, you know, if something has to be conditioned upon, you know, if we're married, certain rights I have off the bat.
You have
I
a
mean,
right to head?
All of it, you know.
How
do
you have
and,
a right
and,
to head? When and, did you get that? Tell me how to get that.
What I'm saying is I have a right to enjoy myself sexually in any way possible
sure.
with my wife.
Sure.
And she has a right to once we touch and agree upon it, she has a right to everything sexual in our relationship as well. Now, if she likes something, then it's time for us to talk. And if she likes something, and she like me to go downtown and I like the same thing, then we need to talk. We need to make sure we got this thing sold up. And it ain't going to be based off of me washing your dishes or you cutting the grass for me or emptying out the trash. It's going to be because we love each other and this is what we want to do because we both enjoy certain things.
That's where you missed it. And we all make that mistake. I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. We all make that mistake. That right there comment you made is where you missed it. And now we all talk about, we go back to the love language piece. The love language piece may see she may not need to receive oral pleasure from you to feel loved. Her feeling love from you may be clean that kitchen.
Like a sense of gift, a sense of touch, a sense
That's
of
right.
Validation. Those love languages, yeah, I went through those schools.
Yeah, she may say, okay, when you go into that kitchen and you put your dishes in the sink and you put your glass on that countertop and walk away, you disrespected me because I'm not your maid and I'm not here to clean up after you. But when you go in there and clean it up, it makes me believe that you love me and you don't want me to be your maid and you don't want me to clean after you. So when doing that, I'm going to turn around and do something for you that you like to be done.
Okay, now,
does that make any sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. But if it's based on a condition that I do something that, I mean, if you got some kind of weird problem like that, that you need to see me wash dishes in order to get aroused, then, you know, or to top me off, then, you know, I'll just do the dishes when I'm ready to get topped off. I mean, if it's as simple as that, then hey.
No.
You know, I washed them dishes last night, right?
Yeah, but men aren't emotional. Men aren't emotional like women. They take things different than we do. We could be taskmasters. Women aren't that way. They're not going to interpret it that way. I could do task A through Z, and she'd go like, so? It's more than that. We're not wired the same way. You know that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we are, but what I'm saying is if that's what you get off on, and if you don't communicate it to me that you get off on me washing your dishes in order for me to get what I need, then guess what? I'll hook the kitchen up, and once you see that kitchen spotless, then you know what time it is.
No. Because then you're doing it with a sense of purpose.
Yes,
and that shows too.
But I don't want it to grow into a habit that I'm washing the dishes and she's never not.
But what if that's her thing?
Me washing dishes and not hooking me up or lying to me?
No. What if? Now, people have all kind of different fetishes, all kind. We can't pick a fetish for a person. You can't just say, okay, you are going to like this oral pleasure that I'm giving you, and that's what's going to turn you on and make you do things for me. Because they may, yeah, it's all right. It's all right, but that's not what really turns me on. So be turn on for her is coming home to a clean house. You looking at it like, oh man, a chore, opposed to saying, this is what really turns you on, without being subjective, right? You find out, well, this is what really turns my wife on if I clean out. And as crazy as it sounds, but guess what? It works.
Well, I better see some results from it. And what I'm saying is sometimes, you know, our wives say, oh, babe, you took me out to eat. You gave me a nice meal. You took me to the movies. And I know what you want tonight. And then she get home and go to sleep. See, that can have the same effect when you wash the dishes, too.
Yeah, because you did it with a sense of purpose. It's not genuine. You're talking about, well, I'll just wash dishes. I'll just wash dishes when I want, you know, some oral pleasure.
Yeah, that's kind of genuine. That's like Pavlov's theory of unconditional response. If I ring this bell, you better come get it. That ain't gonna happen, brother.
It ain't gonna happen. So Darren, I mean, really, without getting too much into your business, what is your wife's hotspot?
Her hotspot is me. Knowing where her hotspot is at. That's where her hotspot is. Because I work, the reason why I say this, because I work on her hotspots every day, meaning that I know she gonna, I ask her in the morning, for instance, hey, what you gonna eat this morning? And she said, I just think I have a bowl of cereal. I said, okay, I got some pops down there. She said, okay, cool, that sounds good. I'll go down there and I'll write a note and tape it on the pops box. So she and it will be to her. So right away, I'm already working on the evening's event.
Well, that's called foreplay. If you got that working for you, all this is neat.
He might not have that working for him, though.
Yeah, well,
go ahead, Darren. Go ahead.
But these are the things that I do, especially if I know that that you know I got plans. You know what I mean? And even if I don't have plans, I mean I'll just put it in that rain check box. You know, but these are the things that turns her on. If I don't skip our bath nights, we got bath nights that we take, no matter what, unless the nights that I'm working. We have bath nights. We had to change it from Tuesday to another day because we got this show, and I know y'all didn't feel like hearing that splashing. But certain things that we do, I think when we first started this show, when I first started coming on, I was in the bathtub with her.
It was weird.
Yeah, it was kind of weird, but that's our thing, you know. So those kind of things of me being consistent and doing what she enjoys doing is, you know, that's what keeps her hot spot wet, you know, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, and that keeps her interested in me because I'm even if I don't feel like doing what she wants to do, I do it anyway.
And you know this because she told you this.
Yes.
She validated, honey, all these things that you do are what I need for you to do to make me do what I want to do for you.
Yeah, like one time I cleaned out her car because it was nasty, and I wasn't thinking that it was something that she – I just got tired of looking at this new car being dirty, and I cleaned it out. And I'm the whole time I'm cleaning it out, I'm like, how in the world did this woman ask for this freaking car? And then she keeps it dirty, and I'm up here fussing in my mind at her, but she came outside and told me that really turned her on. I was like, what? I'm about ready to give it to you, and you up here talking about you turned on. Well, you know what? I'll go ahead and take that. Yeah, I did it.
Right. You know. What do you just do?
But knowledge will make a man a genius, and knowing is half the battle.
What did you just do? Somebody help me. Somebody help me. What did you just say? You just said what I said all along. You didn't look at it like it was a chore. It wasn't dishes. It was a car.
He didn't do it as of a task. He did it because it was his response to say that I'm doing it because I want her to feel better about it. I want to show her I love her. So it's a different thing. It's not like a task. If I do this task, I'm going
to
get this reward.
No. I didn't do it for that either. I just got tired of when she was ready to go somewhere, then I had to get in her car
with
her.
I'm pretty sure she didn't take that as a task. He said, oh, he did that because he loved me.
Yeah, that's how she took it. And I went ahead and rolled with it. I went on ahead and rolled with it.
He did. Yo, I told this story umpteen times on this call, and I'm going to say it one more time. I used to go to the dump. I would load my truck up and take trash to the dump because it was cheaper than paying for the trash truck to come, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one day I was at the dump, and she called me up. She said, hey, get some recycle bins while you're there. I was like, recycle bins? What do I need that for? I'm throwing everything out. She said, just get some recycle bins for me. I said, okay, no problem. So, I mean, I have a relatively long driveway. So I brought the recycle bins home, and I threw them in the driveway. So now she's recycling. She's throwing away stuff. She still does it today. Throws away stuff that's supposed to be thrown away and put everything else in the recycle bin. And she's right, because now the trash can is less full. So I'm actually throwing away less trash. But anyway, I wasn't really thinking about that. That's her project. I want nothing to do with it. My job is to take the trash to the dump. When it gets full, I'll take the trash to the dump. So one day, the recycle bins were really full, and I came home and I looked at them. And you know, you got to take them to the edge of the driveway, which is a pretty long walk. So I wasn't thinking. You know, I was just like, man, these things. Let me just take them down to the. So I took them all the way down to the curb and came on in the house. The next day, you would have thought I bought her a brand new diamond ring. You would have thought I brought her a brand. I could have bought her for 50 cents. And it wasn't about anything other than me acknowledging something that was important to her and me getting on board with something that was important to her. And it was a hard lesson for me to learn because I'm like you, Darren. Recycle bin, what has that got to do with anything? That's right. Trash we're talking about here. You want me to dump some trash? I'm going to dump the trash anyway. I don't want to live with this trash. I want it out of my life. But it was something that was important to her that I had to do, and I had to figure it out. Then the light bulb came on. You know what I mean? So now it's not just about, well, how can I turn her on sexually? No. Just like the brother just said, it starts in the morning. There's other things that we can do with our spouses that'll have a hot button that'll get a better reaction than giving them oral pleasure expecting 69 back. You know what I'm saying?
It works.
Yeah,
well,
so,
from my perspective, I think that what she's saying is very accurate, and I can identify with it. I think when you get on board with what the woman wants to, what the woman wants to do, and you show an interest in it, I think that to her that's stimulating some type of woman desire thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
that men don't understand, but it's stimulating something in the woman. When you champion
mm-hmm.
something that she wants to do, then she thinks that you are on her team. And I think that's partly our duty. But
mm-hmm.
men are not wired to do that naturally. We have to learn to do that. We have to understand to do that. That's not a natural thing.
No.
That's not natural. We have to understand that and then take a leap of faith and contribute to that. And then hope for the best.
And hope for the best.
Usually it comes back to us as something good.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say every day, every time, but usually it comes back to us something good.
Mm-hmm. So I think, and listening to you say that, I believe that in being married, and tying it back to the topic, she used to be a freak. In being married, we got married. And we started living as married people. And we started to categorize things as your chores, my chores. And that's where we left it. Opposed to figuring out, well, these certain things may be hot buttons. And instead of looking at them for what they are, we put them in another category. Like, well, why should I wash the dishes? Why should I clean out your car? I don't drive that car. You drive that car. I don't even get in that car. It's your car. So I think that we forget that there are feelings attached to these tasks that are in marriage. You know what I mean? That's like your wife's got a credit card bill and you just pay it. And she's been stressing, man, I'm going to pay this credit card bill. It's out of control. And you just pay it. You know what I mean? Don't say nothing. She just look at it and it's a zero balance. She's going to love you for that.
But see, these are all the things that friend buddy never teaches you.
Nope. We may not be driving on anybody's street tonight, but we're down the road. I'm definitely down the road. I got one more question, because it's that time, and then I'm going to shut it down. Can the church change your wife's freak status?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. God dang it. Absolutely. Oh, what?
Wow.
I'm gonna be quiet. I'm gonna be quiet now.
Oh, go ahead, bro.
I'll be quiet. Go ahead,
you
bro.
Got it. You got
now.
It, man.
The problem
also,
is that the problem is that the church, okay, now, I've already asked a question to all of y'all, and y'all said no. None of y'all marry a virgin. Okay, the church teaches us we're supposed, as a member, Proverbs 30 on that, you're supposed to marry the virgin. Nobody did that. Okay, go past that. The church says no fornication. You're married now, so fornication don't apply. Now they talk about adultery. If you so much as think about somebody else, that's adultery. Okay, all right, well, we move that aside. The church talks about a whole bunch of other things, about tithing and giving your honor to Christ and all this stuff about what the man's supposed to do. And a woman, all she has to do is submit. Now you asking me, will the church ruin your sex life? Please, it will. Unless the man, unless the man is really well versed in the Bible to counteract the scriptures and to refute what she's talking to you about, if she's stuck in Proverbs 30 and all that stuff, you will be missing out for real. I'm serious.
Anybody else?
That's good words. That's good words.
I think that, you know, I married a virgin the first time, and it, you know, but the you know, of course, the second time I did not. But church, I don't think it has, I don't think it has a lot to do with changing anybody. But I can tell you the difference between marrying a virgin and marrying a one a person that's not one. Just in my case, I'm not saying it's all in all cases, but with being with a virgin, everything is open and new, and with their what goes along with their misunderstandings of what they're supposed to do, it sometimes crosses over into the bedroom. But with a person that is, in my case again, that's not a virgin, it's like, you know, older. I'm going to say an older person, a person with the understanding of leading and following, opposed to a person that doesn't understand the difference between, you know, oh, over here it looks new. Let me go over here, and this grass looks green. Let me go over here on this grass, and that grass looks nicer. And, you know, I mean, this virgin person was all over the place. I mean, I couldn't, you know, I'm like, everything was new, including the idea that another penis was out there that probably was bigger or smaller than mine. You know, so when those things come, and then when church comes in and one pastor say one thing, they all over it. And when they're all over it, now that becomes your household. And that's not fair, because they don't even know, from that perspective, they don't know what's real or what's not. They just know what seems right at the time, and they're going to go with that. And it kind of it messes with the bedroom, because the pastor say we only supposed to do a missionary style. We've been sinning all this time. This is a new creature, mind you, new creature in Christ.
But you know,
pastor say
missionary
we've been
style ain't gonna get it.
Say again.
You know, missionary style for X amount of years ain't gonna get it.
Well, I'm just saying this is to a person that goes into a church and don't understand what it is that they're hearing, or don't know how to take the meat and leave the bones. But, you know, to another wife, my new wife, you know, my current wife, she's like, oh, you know, hey, we're going to dismiss what Pastor said about this, that, and the third, because, you know, we hate. We get ours. Okay, well, we got that straight. I'm glad you said it before I did.
And let me bounce a monkey wrench off of what you just said, brother, and also back to the host question, but I want to, this is my final monkey wrench. What about if she used to be a Jesus freak and she is no longer? You know, when you met her, she was all up in the church, and, you know.
Been there, done that. Oh, my God, what a slap in the face. Ugh.
So what happened?
What happened is we got divorced, and when she figured out what else she did wrong, she was she was just like me. And then regretted the fact that it was over. I'm like, are you serious? Really? I mean, you could be devout, right? You could be devout, but I liken it to having natural humility and then developing this false humility because the Bible says so. And I think that if you want to follow Christ, you got to do it out of your experiences, not out of your knowledge, okay? What I mean is your experiences will teach you to be humble, will strengthen your ego and say, okay, I've accomplished this and that, but I'll still be a servant to others, right? Christians, new Christians, don't know that. They say, okay, the Bible said I have to be this way and this way. You're not doing what the Bible says, so I don't like you. No, it's not like that. The Bible says if you see somebody who is sinning, well, it's your duty to help them get right by love, not by judgment. So all this stuff comes about in our first thing, where she was, like, judging me. And then we got divorced. And now she's like, you know, I'll never do that again. And I'm like, well, why did you understand that while we were together? And, well, it took you to teach me that what I was doing was wrong. But it was too late. And she said, well, that's maturity. And I said, you know, it's too late now. So, yeah, getting back to your thing, but getting back to the premise of the question, if you're new in Christ, you be careful. If you understand the Bible and the teaching of Christ, then you really need to understand humility and how to deal with people and not judge them. That'll take you a long way through. That'll keep your relationship strong. Because what I've seen is that these people new in Christ are very judgmental, Old Testament stuff. No grace, no mercy. You did wrong. I don't like you.
Yeah.
And that's how people lose their relationships. Am I wrong?
No, you're right, bro. You're right. Good words. Good words.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things that the church can do. Yeah, put a little damper on your sex life, I believe, if your marriage is weak. And if you're not, you know, they use the term equally yoked.
That unequally yoked thing is wrong, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
they do not interpret that correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah, one thing about the church also, you know, it brought home with the virgin chick. It brought home a whole lot of argument because since I didn't present it to her and the pastor got to it first, her understanding was that he understood it and I didn't. And I wasn't qualified to even talk to her. So now all of her teachings came directly from the pastor.
That's crazy right there.
That negates your value because the pastor is not marrying her and the pastor is not in a relationship with her. You are. So that negates your value, and that is very, very dangerous.
That's why she's ex-wife.
Yeah. It sets up a lot of... It just sets a trail for destruction when it comes to adultery, when it comes to stepping outside your marriage. Because when you're a man... And you want to run your house, and you're doing what you think you're supposed to do to run the house, but she's out of line, it makes that next woman that much more appealing to you.
You got that right, brother.
You know what I mean? She's out of line. I mean, there's only but so much you can do. We can put it on the man all day long, twice on Sundays. But if she's out of line, and she just can't get right, or she's uneducated about submission, she doesn't know her role and how she's supposed to follow him. You know what I mean? You're going to be looking for that somewhere. You're going to be looking for that. That's going to be something that you're going to be on your list. Well, my next one. You could be married in a marriage and be saying, well, my next wife is going to understand what submission means.
But see, the thing about that, see, you know, this is really a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope. I'll tell you why it's a slippery slope. You go to church for morals, right? You go to church to get right, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many ways to misinterpret what the Bible is telling you. And you could be speaking a whole bunch of knowledge to your spouse or your girlfriend at home, right? And as soon as she gets to church, she says, oh, the pastor says such and such, I have no reason to believe anything you say. You've been castrated just right there.
Wow.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
You've been completely castrated. And when you get home, and the church, you don't realize, when you get home, when she starts telling you, You said, this is a question. What did you get from service? And she said, oh, well, what you and I have been doing, we've been fornicating, and I don't think that you and I should be together because you're not following Jesus Christ. And am I supposed to follow you? Are you supposed to be a man
bro.
Of God?
That's different, bro. Because when she said fornicating, she was right on the head. Now that we talking about, we were talking about marriage.
Okay, all right, but get this though. I understand fornicating is wrong, and you all know it's wrong. But let me be the only one on this call. Let me be the only one on this call to say that I had sex with my wife before I got married.
No, you're not.
All right.
You're not.
Okay, let's call a spade, brother. I'm serious. If we're going to have a grown man conversation, let's call a spade a spade.
Okay.
Okay, but what I'm saying is if a female say, you know, I want to get right, and I heard that, you know, I felt convicted by fornicating and in church, you know, that's a difference than being in a marriage and say, you know, I'm not giving you head anymore. Because the Bible say, or the Bible or the pastor say this and that. Now, if you say fornication, that's actually she got some grounds there. But you know, other stuff in a marriage, if you're talking about a marriage bed, then that can't be defiled. Then now we talking something different. So if you're gonna let that affect what that man said affect our marriage bed, then we got another problem.
I disagree, and I'm going to tell you why I disagree. Because when you take the girl's hand, you sit down together on your knees and you pray to God together and say, I sin, I forgive, for God forgives, right? And you try to get right with her together, and you know y'all both going wrong. Because it takes two people to fornicate, not just a man. So don't tell me the man fornicated and the woman didn't. Okay, that's
wrong. Just saying if she say, oh, I want to make this thing right and we need to get married so we can stop fornicating and we can be right in the eyes of God, then you know you probably got to look at honoring that.
Okay, let's skip forward. Now you did that. You got married. You made it right, and she still say it's not enough. I don't like what you're doing. You're not washing the dishes. I'm going back to all the things we talked about earlier tonight. You're not washing dishes. You're not taking the trash out. I can't do with you. I'm different. I've changed. You're not the person I married. All those things come up. Well, my point is that even if you do the right thing, no matter if you do the wrong thing, you're still going to be saddled with work. You're still going to be saddled with work.
So in that case, you're saying that a homosexual has a case when he goes into church and tell his homosexual husband that, hey, you know, I got convicted in church today, and we should be married to have sex legally.
Oh, God, no. Oh,
I mean, but that's what
that.
You're saying.
That's not what I'm saying. No.
But you're saying that that's cool, too. If you're saying, if
no.
you're stating what you're stating, then you're stating that, okay, well, this is cool to, as long as a homosexual is a homosexual that is
no,
married.
No, that's completely different, because the Bible specifically says that a man should not be with a man, and a woman should not be
and
with a
man. And the Bible specifically say that a man should not fornicate, or when people should not fornicate either.
But when
so
they,
that's what
when
I'm
they
saying.
Get,
you
when they get married,
thing.
When they get married, that sin goes away. But when a homosexual marries a homosexual, that sin consists. That sin continues.
But the point I was making, though, is she's got ground to stand on because she's standing by something that the Bible says is a sin. So if it's a sin to fornicate, just as it is a sin to be a homosexual, then you know you got to say, okay, let's make this right. Let me go ahead and marry you.
But my point is what we've been talking about all night long is that if the girl, okay, if the girl you're with is not able to get with you physically, right? And you only have the opportunity to test it when you get married. How do you know? All right.
Well, we ain't talking about somebody who don't know. We talking about somebody who has fornicated. You're saying like, okay, I fornicated, and then she say, I don't want to fornicate anymore. So you already know what it feels like. You already know what it smells like. You already know what it tastes like. You know everything about it. Now it's time for you to just make it right. At this point, when she say, hey, I want to get myself right because the Bible say we should not fornicate.
But you make it right, and it's still not right. You make it right, you do the right thing, and it's still, you still got issues with it.
You're only getting married at this point just so you won't, you know, you won't be committing that sin. Now, I'm not saying that it was a lot of other problems that you're going to address or not address, but just to cover this one, all those other problems, not a sin. If you don't wash dishes, ain't no sin. Then you just got to figure that out. But as far as fornication goes, if she say, she has a valid point to say, hey, this message in church changed me today, and I don't want to, I don't want to live in sin anymore, so let's make this thing right and get married.
I agree with that. But still at all, the church still shouldn't dictate once you're married. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
once you're married,
right,
everything changes. Church
right.
should have little say unless you guys are in agreement, like you said. Unless you're in agreement, they should have little say in what goes on in your bedroom.
Yeah, that's true.
Missionary, may know what missionary, what? What is that when you're married? Anal
well,
sex, I mean what? Oral sex, I mean what? We do all that.
I mean, I have.
Well, I read somewhere that the marital bed is undefiled.
Yeah.
Right.
So you could do, so after you're married, anything goes. Whatever you do is between you and your wife. And there's no sin there. Nothing. There's no sin at all. Undefiled. Ever heard that before?
Yes,
oh,
sir.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah. You're right. Mm. Yeah.
It's undefiled, but a lot of people try to slide in things like, well, that third party, you know, I mean, you know, we was doing this threesome before we got
man,
married.
That's that Sodom and Gomorrah stuff. That's that
right, right. So,
stuff.
We just got to get an understanding of what that means in the marriage bed is between the two people, so.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible I read said you should leave and cleave your mother and your husband to be with your wife, and it ain't got nothing to do with nobody else. It's just you and your
that's
woman.
Right.
It ain't got
that's
to
right.
be you and the other person.
Yeah.
There's
right.
never been, I marry my wife, and then I have sex with some other girl with my wife. That's never been that way. It never was written that way.
Mm.
You know, I mean, you could be inventive in the bedroom all day long, but that ain't what the Bible says. I mean, I could say I'm super religious, but, I mean, you know, I've been around the block a little bit, and that wasn't written in the Bible.
No. Mm-mm. Good words. I don't know why my phone keeps doing that, man. That's my phone. That won't work on the radio.
I think the last thing I'm going to say tonight, because I know y'all probably tired of hearing my voice, but I think that the goal of this thing is to understand if you married somebody who was, you know, she was really aggressive in the bedroom and she's not that way that right now, I think that you have to understand there's three things. She can change, you can change, you have to understand the change, adapt, and then when you adapt, then you can get back to where you were. And the only way to get there is communication. And once you communicate and understand where your woman is, where you are, dealing with your hurts and your pains and your baggage, dealing with her hurts and pains and baggage, then you can get to where you want to be. But all that requires courage. You have to be able to extend yourself.
Yep.
Now, I mean, in my situation, there's some things I need to deal with and I'm trying to deal with to get to where I need to be. But I think things have gotten better in my 9 years of marriage than it was when I was married for 6 years. You know?
Progress.
And I think it's an exploration to say, you know, is there things, there's some alternatives that I could have taken that would have been wrong for me. But I think the better part of it is that I chose to be faithful and deal with the things that I lack and be stronger with it. Strong and work towards the things that I want. So
yep.
Wanting and desiring the girl to be who she was when she met you, she did that because she wanted something. And if you give her something that she wants and desires, she'll be that way when she dated you. Because she say, oh, if I want this, I'm gonna do whatever I have to keep it. But if you don't give her any incentive to really want to keep something, then you'll get the status quo.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's really what makes marriage fun, is you try and find ways to have her or have each other fight for something that they want, whether it's given to what they want for their life and say, okay, this makes my career, this makes my dreams come true. And in turn, it makes my dreams come true. If that's the ingredients, then you have to find ways to make those ingredients work. But if you don't do that, then you're always going to have a boring marriage. You're always going to have a boring marriage. Nothing will ever, ever make any sense to you. It'll just be like, okay, I come home, I work, I expect to have the sex, and I go to sleep. And you wonder why it's boring. Because there's something missing. You have to give of yourself. Now, my uncle was a pastor, or he's a pastor, and he always used to tell me that if you get married or you're in the church, it's always an element of dying to self. You've got to die of self because you're giving love. So they say, what is love unless you give it away? Love is not love until you give it away. You have to give love to someone in order to get love in return. So you have to be a servant to others. And when they see the example, they'll be a servant to you.
Good
and that's
word.
What I've learned. That's what I am learning. I say I ain't
gotcha.
Learned, but I'm learning. And I'm just saying, just to you all, do you agree with what I'm saying?
We do, but you're right. It is getting late. And I agree with you. And I'm only going to, you know, I was getting ready to do a summary, but I'm going to say this. I'm going to echo off what you just said. And, again, I do agree with you. But I think that the other portion of that whole communication piece is being able to receive what's being said. And that's why I asked the question earlier, would your wife fake an orgasm to avoid saying what's really wrong in the marriage? And I think that that would happen when we get stuck in a place and we don't hear what she's saying. And she may be saying it in ways of not coming out of her mouth, but showing you certain things and acting a different way when you do certain things and showing you by when you clean out the car, she's showing you love. And we may not pick these up. We may not pick those signals up. So the communication part that you were saying is 100% correct, but we have to be better receivers in the communication that's being communicated to us. And I think that that's the problem with marriage. A lot of times we can't accept the fact that our wife may come home and say, hey, guess what? I want to do this sexual position differently tonight, or I want to start in the basement and then work our way up to the bedroom, or I want you to do a little bit more foreplay, or I need you to do something different. And we may not be open to that because we're stuck in our ways and we may think that there is some hidden agenda. Like, where did you learn that from and why do you want to do this now? So I think that, without saying too much, that we have to learn to receive information better to be able to make the information work for us in our marriage going forward.
Good words.
Yeah. And that's it. 12:02 a.m., we'll shut it down, and we'll go to open mic. If anybody's got anything for open mic, go ahead. Shut it down.